Part 1. How's My Preaching? Chapter 1. No One's Listening. He'd seen them all before, sometimes even in his sleep. The blank stares and faraway looks that told him he wasn't connecting again. Even as he continued to preach his message, another part of Pastor Ray Martin's brain rehearsed a series of familiar observations. There's John Phillips sitting there trying to decide which stocks to dump tomorrow morning when the market opens. And there's his wife beside him, trying to decide whether or not to dump him. And Sally Kennedy, in her normal spot, two rows from the back. A great location to keep tabs on who's here and who's not. And Norma Reed next to her, ready to supply the reason for anyone being missing. They were all parked before him, listening to the message, or at least pretending to listen, as he tried his best to make the Word of God come alive in the 21st century. Their distraction began to distract Ray. He found himself wondering if this was why those old fundamentalist preachers used to yell and pound the pulpit. It was no easy matter to keep a congregation's attention. He felt a sudden wild impulse to simply pick up his notes and walk off the platform. Had anyone ever done that? Just stopped preaching and walked out the back door? Would anyone even notice? Just stare at the back wall, he told himself. It was an old trick he'd learned from a seminary professor. Just get through it. You'll be back next week. Hopefully, they will too. Driving home that afternoon, he rehearsed the comments of the congregation that morning as he shook hands at the door after the service.
Nice job, Pastor.
What a blessing, Pastor.
One of your best, Pastor.
That last one was particularly cruel, since the comparison wasn't qualified. Like telling your wife that, for her, her hair looked pretty good that day. He wanted to ask them all if they had learned anything, but ultimately he wasn't sure if that was a fair question. If he couldn't answer it, why should they be able to? It shouldn't be this hard, Ray said, to no one as he turned into his driveway. His wife, Sally, met him at the door for their Sunday afternoon ritual. They'd done this for the 10 years that Ray had been pastor of Meadowland Community Church. Ray often looked forward to the message post-mortem, but not lately. So how do you feel it went? She asked, giving away her opinion.
I don't know, he lied.
How do you feel it went? Fine. When all your wife and number one cheerleader can muster is a fine, then you know it's worse than you think. Ray sank down into the sofa. I just don't know, sweetheart. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I hate to say this, but Sunday morning has become just 30 minutes to fill. 30 minutes that I start dreading an hour after I've finished the last sermon. That's a lot of dread, Ray. It can't be that bad. Your messages are fine, and you do a good job delivering them. Honey, if you worked all week to prepare a meal for me, and I said it was fine, and that you did a good job delivering it, just how long would I be sleeping on the couch? Oh, you know what I mean, she said. Ray did know what she meant. She meant that it was fine, but fine wasn't good enough anymore. There has to be a simple solution to this, he finally said to Sally. I must be overthinking it. Either that or it's something I've never heard before. Why didn't you call that baseball guy? Sally asked.
What baseball guy?
The rich guy that got you so excited about trying new ideas at the church. Pete Harlan. It had been almost 6 months since Ray had spent a memorable evening at the local Major League ballpark, watching a game from the owner's seats. Things had gotten pretty complicated at the church, and a friend arranged for Ray to meet with Pete. A very successful businessman, Pete had shared with Ray 7 practices that he had used to build his business empire. 7 practices that Ray and his elder board had been implementing with some encouraging success. What would Pete know about preaching? That's what I asked you about church ministry, but you came home and changed everything. I figured if he could do that for the organizational side of things, maybe he can snap you out of this too. I don't need to be snapped out of anything, and I really don't think Pete can help. Well, she replied quietly, then you really don't have anything to lose, do you?